Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son came into the world to free us from sin and death. Breathe upon us the power of your Spirit, that we may be raised to new life in Christ and serve you in righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy, and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves, and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves, and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 130 responsively. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
O Lord, hear my voice.
If you were to keep watch over sins, O Lord, who could stand? I wait for you, O Lord. My soul waits. In your word is my hope.
My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who...
Israel, wait for the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with the Lord there is plenteous redemption. A reading from Romans. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, indeed it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also, through his Spirit that dwells in you. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
You may be seated.
Although it looks like the gospel is very short, according to your bulletin, we only printed the first verse of 45. So he was sick. Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. This was the same Mary who had massaged the Lord's feet with aromatic oils and then wiped them with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was sick. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Master, the one you love so much is sick." When Jesus got the message, he said, "This sickness is not fatal. It will become an occasion to show God's glory by glorifying God's Son." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, but oddly, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed on where he was for two more days. After 2 days, he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." They said, "Rabbi, you can't do that. The Jews are out to kill you, and you're going back?" Jesus replied, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in daylight doesn't stumble because there's plenty of light from the sun. Walking at night, he might very well stumble because he can't see where he's going." He said these things and then announced, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. I'm going to wake him up." The disciples said, "Master, if he's gone to sleep, he'll get a good rest and wake up feeling fine." Jesus was talking about his death, while his disciples thought he was talking about taking a nap. Then Jesus became explicit. "Lazarus died, and I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. You're about to be given new grounds for believing. Now let's go to him." That's when Thomas, the one called the twin, said to his companions, "Come along. We might as well die with him." When Jesus finally got there, he found Lazarus already 4 days dead. Bethany was near Jerusalem, only a couple miles away, and many of the Jews were visiting Martha and Mary, sympathizing with them over their brother. Martha heard that Jesus was coming and went out to meet him. Mary remained in the house. Martha said, "Master, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask God, he will give you." Jesus said, "Your brother will be raised up." Martha replied, "I know that he will be raised up in the resurrection at the end of time." "You don't have to wait for the end. I am, right now, resurrection and life. The one who believes in me, even though he or she dies, will live. And whoever lives believing in me does not ultimately die at all. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Master. All along I have believed that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who came into this world." After saying this, she went to her sister Mary and whispered in her ear, "The teacher is here, and he's asking for you." The moment she heard that, she jumped up and ran out to him. Jesus had not yet entered the town, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When her sympathizing Jewish friends saw Mary run off, they followed her, thinking that she was on her way to the tomb to weep there. Mary came to where Jesus was waiting and fell at his feet, saying, "Master, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her sobbing, and the Jews with her sobbing, a deep anger welled up within him. He said, "Where have you put him?" "Master, come and see," they said. And now Jesus wept. The Jews said, "Look how deeply he loved him." Others among them said, "Well, if he loved him so much, why didn't he do something to keep him from dying? After all, he opened the eyes of the man born blind." than Jesus, that feeling welling up again within him, arrived at the tomb. It was a simple cave in the hillside with a slab of stone laid against it. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." The sister of the dead man, Martha, said to him, "Master, by this time there's a stench. He's been dead 4 days." Jesus looked her in the eye. "Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Then to the others, "Go ahead, take away the stone." They removed the stone. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and prayed, "Father, I'm grateful that you have listened to me. I know you always do listen, but on account of the crowd standing here, I've spoken so that they might believe that you sent me." Then he shouted, "Lazarus, come out!" And he came out, a cadaver, wrapped from head to toe, with a kerchief over his face. Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him loose." That was a turnabout for many of the Jews who were there with Mary. They saw what Jesus did and believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Many years ago, my husband worked and lived on the Turtle Mountain Reservation in North Dakota. And after years of service there, the congregation gave him a going away gift. He was planning on going away, and they gave him a gift as he was going away. So this paint, it was a very large painting, a very large painting. Paul Warcloud, the artist, was one of Don's favorite artists. He lived on that reservation, and Don really liked his art. Me, not so much. This painting that Don received was called The Ghost Dancers. And in the corner, in the bottom right corner, as you looked across the landscape, there was a big buffalo skull. And I just didn't like this piece of art too much. This is one of the things that was stolen when we were robbed. All our storage unit was stolen, and we lost this piece of art in the storage unit rather than in our house. but this, I started liking it a little bit better after the insurance company paid us nearly $3,000 for the painting. But I think of that painting when I hear these readings about the dry bones of Ezekiel's valley and those smelly bones in the tomb of Lazarus. There's something about these readings that I don't like. You probably don't like those things either. And I think I know what it is. In these passages, it's easy to try to find your own heart there. We hear Ezekiel's prophecy, and we want to open our hearts to receive that new spirit that is promised. We want to emulate Martha's faith that took her to call Jesus to task for not being there when her brother died, and yet at the same time acknowledging Jesus as Messiah, as the resurrection and the life. Or maybe it's Mary's more quiet, intimate relationship with Jesus that we would love to see a reflection of in our own hearts. But I think maybe we're looking in the wrong place, because mainly we're the dry bones. We're the smelly bones. We're in the tomb, and we're stinking. In one way or another, we all need new life. Not just a happier, sunnier tomorrow. Not just a better vision for the future. We need life. We need Jesus to call us away from the grave, away from the tomb, away from all of those ways of hate and death that keep us in a grip in our thinking and in our living. We need Jesus to breathe life into us, to breathe life back into all of us. All of us. We are Lazarus. We need Jesus. And thanks be to God for the gift and the promise of that life that has already been given to us, that has been given to us today as we remember our baptism, as we celebrate with little Ian. Thanks be to God for this life that is given to us as we reach out our hands to receive that life-giving nourishment in Holy Communion. Listen, God is calling you to life, to new life, to everlasting life. Amen.